Okay, now when you walk into the ring for the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, happy Thanksgiving 2024. That's right, folks. It's November the 23rd, in the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2024. There is no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ Almighty. And ordinarily, I say a good evening, good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Not in that necessary order, but I just kind of switched it up a little bit tonight. My name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, and you're listening to Blood River Radio. We're very proudly syndicated by Liberty News Radio, syndicated all over the United States, and some people all over the world listen to us. I know we have a few people in England and Croatia that listen to us, and I'd just like to bid them a happy Thanksgiving, even though they don't celebrate that over there in those European countries. But anyway, folks, we're a Christian radio show, and we never do anything without saying a quick prayer. So if I can stop hacking long enough with my sinuses involved with all this running I do, I think it stirs them up. Anyway, if you will, folks, bow your head. We'll say a quick little prayer. Almighty Father, thank you for yet bringing us in yet one more day into the studios, into Blood River Radio, and let us fight from behind the microphone today. Lord, much prefer to being out in the field doing physical stuff, but this chore here has to be done sometimes too. So thank you very much for letting us fight in the field and fight behind the microphone for you, Lord. And Lord, we will continue to do that as long as you give us the strength and the power and the wisdom to do that. And Lord, if you will, always, we always say, and we always mean it too, Lord, to give us the strength, the wisdom. So the strength to fight the enemy, the wisdom to know who the enemy is and how to fight that enemy. I'd like to ask you to continue to bless Liberty News Radio and Blood River Radio and all of our friends out there, Lord. If you will, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. And if you will, let one person come to Christ through our work in this program right here today. That's all this in Jesus' name, amen. Folks, a quick outline. We're going to have kind of a surprise guest, Fred Leutcher, people of the Leutcher Report fame. He was instrumental. He was the key witness, the star witness in the Ernst Sundell, the notorious / famous Ernst Sundell trials, I think of the 70s and 80s. And he was their star witness. He was hand-picked by some of the fellows on the defense team, and Robert Forreson, if I pronounce it right, Robert Forreson, he's probably the grandfather of history revisionist, and he had got in touch with the defense team in Canada. He was defending Ernst Sundell. We won't go into that much too much because this right here, this we brought Fred Leutcher in. He wants to talk about Ursula Haverbeck, the precious 96-year-old warrior who died in prison in Germany for thought crime and speech crime. She would not knuckle down to the Jews over there. And, she paid the price. Can you believe those evil Jews put a 96-year-old lady back into prison just because she wouldn't go along and say something that she knew was a lie in her heart? Well, that, people... with that little outline, we'll bring in, we've got two people on tonight. We got Tennessee Ben coming back, 29-year-old kid I'm really proud of. I call him a kid, but he's really a grown man. and the one and only Fred Leutcher. How you doing tonight, Fred?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Eddie?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, how do you pronounce your name? Is it Leuchter or Leuchter?
Oh, in the United States, most people call me Leuchter. But the people in the know who were involved in the Holocaust denial call me Leuchter, which is the correct German pronunciation.
Okay, I just wanted to get that straight. Well, we also have Ben, before we start asking, getting Fred to talk about Ursula Haverbeck, say hello to Fred.
How's it going, Fred?
Very good. Yourself?
Can't complain. The Lord has blessed me with another day of the sun shining.
Very good. We had rain for the last 2 days.
It's gotten cold here, but we've been fortunate enough to not get any rain yet.
Okay. Well, hopefully it'll hold on.
Well, guys, well, that brief introduction to our guest tonight, we're hoping that Ben is going to be on a lot on Blood River, and we're looking forward to doing some street operations. If we get time tonight, we'll tell you a few things we have been planned for in the not too distant future. But Fred, as you well know, you were the first person to send me. You sent me a text message letting me know that the precious Ursula Haverbeck had died in prison. Tell us about that. Tell us about that story. What you know about her? How you know she's been a history revisionist, so to speak. She's been she lived through the war, I would assume, and she knew that the death camps were really not death camps. Tell us all about that, Fred. You know a lot more about that than I do. Just go ahead, Fred.
I don't know a lot about the background, but I do know that Barbara Nowak, whom I know you know as well, she sent. She called me on the telephone when I wasn't home, and I got a message, and she told me I got it later at night, and I found out that Ursula had died, and I checked on it myself by going on the internet, and at that point I sent her a message. I posted the message on Facebook, and I sent a number of other people that I thought you'd know. I sent it to the IHR, and I try to keep everybody in the United States posted when something happens to anybody in Europe that's in our revisionist group. But, I mean, Ursula was quite... As far as I'm concerned, Ursula was murdered by the German government, which is controlled by the Jews. And what we have here is that she was sentenced, I believe, to prison 3 or 4 times, and every time she got out, she started talking about the Holocaust again and said it didn't happen, and they grabbed her again and threw her in prison. Now, what happened to her was totally elder abuse. I mean, she was an elderly woman. And she shouldn't have been treated that way. All they should have done was they should have left her alone and figured that at her age she wouldn't be a problem for them. But all they did by putting her in prison, they turned her into a martyr, which is what she was. And she finally died in prison, and it's unfortunate. She should have been home, and she should have died in bed if that was going to happen. But it's terrible. Their prisons are not nice. And certainly a 96-year-old woman shouldn't be subject to what goes on in their prisons. But, I mean, she was one hell of a woman because she didn't take their crap. And the minute they let her go, the minute she got out, she went back and she started complaining about the Holocaust and the laws and how they persecute people who say that there was no Holocaust and there were no gas chambers. And, of course, we know there were no gas chambers because when I went there, I expected to find them, and there were none. It's just been one big lie perpetrated by the British and by the Jews, and people that stand up to them get assaulted and get attacked physically, and they and they're made so that they are chronically unemployable. And I mean, that's what happened to me. I mean, we have people here in the United States that are being executed by procedures and by equipment that doesn't work. The states that are doing the executions don't have the right chemicals. They've got all kinds of problems, but they're afraid to talk to me. I'm the one that can.
Babe, we got to go to a quick break. We got to go to our first break of the first hour. We'll hold you over for another segment, Fred. So hang on to your seat, buddy. Be right back, folks.
For Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, if those people, referring to the dictatorial federal government, if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home. As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we have the one and only expert in the world on gas chambers. He had traveled to Europe on several occasions inspecting the so-called gas chambers. I know in more than one nation, in Germany, and for instance in Dachau, and Auschwitz, and I think Belsen, and he went there fully expecting to find gas chambers. He thought he would. He was a firm believer in the Holocaust. And he told told Ernst Sundell's defense team that he did believe that he would go there and he would find evidence that would hurt Ernst's case. And they said, well, go ahead and go, and we'll face the truth. They, being the defense team, were almost positive there were no death camps, like we have been told to believe. When Fred went over there, he carried a whole team, and Fred is an engineer. He had his own engineering business in the United States until when he returned and testified in court in Canada. When he did that, no more business for Fred. The Jews wrecked him. Now, that's who Fred Leutcher is. Now, Fred is going to talk a little bit about Ursula, how she got in trouble, and he's known her for about 8 years. And he also wants to talk a little bit about the experiences in prison. And the reason I say this, because Fred was locked into prison too. Keep in mind, he was put into prison as this, quote, Holocaust denier. And he was put in prison over there. He's going to tell you a little bit about the conditions that probably the precious Ursula had to face. Go ahead, Fred. Start off with talking about Tell a little bit about what you know about Ursula and the conditions of prison in Germany. We would go into more about the death camps, but we really don't have that much time. We'll do that on, well, we've done that several, many hours on that. We'll do that again before too long, hopefully. But tell us a little bit about the conditions inside the prison and relate it to Ursula as much as you can, Fred.
Well, I'm sure we'll face the same situation that I did, and most Holocaust deniers, when they're in prison, have to be isolated away from the rest of the population, because I know that when I was in Mannheim, I had Jewish inmates. The security there was terrible. I had Jewish inmates coming from the convicted section, coming into the, I was in the non-convicted section, pounding on my door at 3 o'clock in the morning, swearing at me and telling me they were going to kill me. So I know, I can imagine it must have been worse for her, because, I mean, she wasn't really in a position to defend herself. I mean, you know, I mean, she's 96 years old, and she, I'm sure she had no weapons. She would have just had to sit there and take it if they got into her. And, I mean, I know what I had to do. I made a spear out of a pole that was for a mop, and it was a mop handle. And every time they opened my door, I was waiting to stab somebody with the spear. And the guards all knew it, and nobody ever said anything because they knew what I was doing. They knew what the situation was, and they knew if the wrong person opened that door, somebody might have killed me. So I know what she felt like every time her door was opened. And, you know, even though you're telling the truth, and even though you're chasing these Jews and these communists that are supporting the persecution of the Holocaust deniers, it doesn't make any difference, because you still are afraid when somebody opens that door. And I mean, I know that I was in, they did a shakedown when I was in prison, and they were pretty good to me, because the people that worked in the prison realized that I didn't belong in there any more than Ursula belonged in there. We weren't criminals, but at any rate, when they come in, they normally throw all your stuff out on the tier, and then you have to pick it up and put it in. The lieutenant of the guards came in, and he put his hands underneath my clothes and stuff that I had on my shelf. He was very careful not to disturb anything, and he apologized for being there. And I understand that in prisons they have to do shakedowns, they have to search, but he was very good to me, because he knew I wasn't doing anything that I shouldn't be doing. And just as he was leaving, he looked down under my wash basin, and he saw the spear, and he said to the guard, "What's that?" And the guard looked at him and said, "That's Herr Leuchter's weapon." And the lieutenant looked at him, he looked at me, and he turned around and he said, "I don't want to know." And he walked out and closed the door. It's not normally allowed that inmates are allowed to have weapons. But Yeah, I had reason for it. So, unfortunately, I doubt if Ursula had a weapon. She just would have been at the mercy of some Jew that got into her room. They would have probably killed her. And I don't know that that hasn't happened.
Probably.
I haven't seen a death certificate yet. I'd really like to see it. You know, somebody could have killed her, and they could have just said she died. Did she die, or was she? I don't know, and I bet we never get to see a death certificate. So,
even if we do, it'd be so easy to doctor that death certificate. I mean, who's going to dispute what the Zog says over there? You know, because they don't want to wind up in prison themselves. That's for sure. Well, you know, Ursula had been. I wonder when she first. Monica will be coming on in the second hour. I think she's pretty well versed in that. than Versla's in her career. I didn't get time to ask her today if she knew her personally, but I wish we could have got Nancy Hood. By the way, I talked to Nancy today. She's doing better. She said her vertigo had disappeared for the time being, but she said it usually comes back. She's not doing well overall. But anyway, I'm sure Nancy would want me to tell all the people out there hello, and I'm sure y'all think about her all the time like I do. She's such a good kind lady and a kind warrior. But anyway, back to Ursula. She had been a warrior for at least 8 or 9 years, you know, and I'll ask a rhetorical question to you, Fred, before we bring Ben in. Why is the establishment so afraid of people like Ursula talking? Why are they so afraid and so desperate to keep people like Ursula shut up, to keep them from talking, that they'll actually put them in prison? What are they afraid of, Fred?
They're afraid of the truth, plain and simple. And they don't want people telling the truth, because eventually if people keep telling the truth, they're not going to believe their lie. And that's all the Holocaust is. It's just one big lie. And they can't afford to have Ursula speaking. They can't afford to have me speaking. That's why they'd like to kill the Holocaust deniers when they're in prison. And you know, Ursula was a real pain in the neck for them, because Ursula, all she would draw from the entire world was sympathy. They were sorry because this woman was 96 years old and they threw her in a prison cell. And, you know, I mean... What? If you put
We have a caller. We have a caller who would like to ask you. He would like to comment on Ursula, and he may have a question. Are you ready to take a caller, Fred?
Yeah, sure am.
Sorry I had to interrupt you there. Go ahead, Miss Lizzie, and bring the caller on. His name is Hoon. Hello, Mr. Hoon.
Hey, Eddie. It's nice to talk to you. This is literally my favorite show. I'm not even just saying that. So I just wanted to...
Well, thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, I really mean it. I tell everybody to listen in. So I just wanted to say, as far as I'm aware, Ursula Haverback, actually, she was sentenced to 1 year and 4 months. I know that, but she was her lawyer was appealing it. I'm pretty sure she didn't die in prison, thank God. And it doesn't mean that the Jews in Germany didn't kill her. It wouldn't surprise me if they did, because you know how bad it would look if she would have died in prison. But... as far as I know, I've got it pulled up right here, even so I could tell you the lawyer's name, but now I actually don't see it. But yeah, I know for a fact that she was appealing it. I really don't think she was in prison just yet.
No, she wasn't.
Okay, listen, don't go anywhere. You have to, Coon, if you'd like to call back in second hour, you could speak to Monica. She's our co-host, and you know she's been in prison in Germany too. You might want to comment to her if you. It's just a suggestion. If you don't have to do it if you don't want to. But do you have any more questions or any more comments?
No, I'll call back then, because the other thing I've always wanted to ask about is so unrelated. I want to go back to just listening. Y'all have a great time. I'll call back in the second hour. Thank you.
Well, keep listening. Please keep spreading the truth. Thank you so much for your call. Go ahead, Fred. We'll be going to a break any minute. But go ahead. I thought you might want to take that phone call, Fred. But go ahead, Fred.
I understand that Ursula was appealing this conviction, and they lost the appeal, and that's what she has been in prison.
We got to go to a second break of the first hour, Fred. We'll be right back after this, fella.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hi, everyone. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up, because you could be entitled to significant cash compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens, and now studies have proven a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. 800-842-6060. That's 800-842-6060. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary award. Call 800-842-6060. That's 800-842-6060. 800-842-6060. Call now.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
Major League Baseball's Tampa Bay Rays could soon be without a home.
The St. Petersburg City Council has reversed course on whether to spend more than $23 million to repair the hurricane-shredded roof of the Tampa Bay Rays ballpark. The council initially voted Thursday to approve the repair and later changed its mind. The reversal came after the council voted to delay consideration of revenue bonds for a proposed new $1.3 billion Rays ballpark. Just 2 days before, the Pinellas County Commission postponed a vote on its share of the new stadium bonds, leaving that project in limbo. Keith Peters reporting.
Well, most people taking popular drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy to lose weight have shed a few pounds, but obesity experts say roughly 20% of patients may not see robust results with the new medications. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. A firm in New Hampshire working on autonomous helicopters.
There are hopes the helicopters could put out fires, spray crops, and handle other dangerous jobs. Rotor Technologies has built two of the autonomous helicopters, starting running test flights, and plans a demonstration of the helicopter at an agriculture trade show in Texas. The company hoping to sell as many as 20 of the small helicopters next year, most of which would be used by farmers to spray fields with pesticides and fertilizers. The company counting on getting FAA approval by next year. John Scott reporting.
Bitcoin jumping again, setting up a new high above $99,000. The cryptocurrency has been shattering records nearly on a daily basis since the presidential election and has rocketed more than 40% higher in just 2 weeks. It's now at the doorstep of $100,000. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
This is a battle. A battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
The theepictimes.com.
Looking for an IT partner that truly understands your needs? Managed IT Services is the answer. We meet with you regularly to discuss your goals and form a tailored technology plan. Our customers have called us a trusted advisor who delivers. When it comes to IT, we do it all. Firewalls, cloud storage, server migration, and more. Say goodbye to long-term contracts and hello to a team that earns your business month after month. Call 801-706-6980 now and let Managed IT Services transform your IT experience.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
You Blood River Radio people. We were talking during the break. We being Fred Leutcher, Tennessee Ben, and myself. And I was saying we were discussing why are the people in Germany, when I say people, I mean white, pretty much used to be Christian nation, but that's been beat out of them a lot, like we have here, like we've been beat out of us here. Why do they just lie down and let their great grandmothers, yeah, probably great great grandmother of like Ursula, and their mothers and grandmothers and children, why do they just lie down and let them get abused? There's the rape is out of control. Even in Sweden, I hear it's worse than Germany. But why do they lie down and let their great great grandmothers be dragged off to prison for simply not bowing down and spewing out lies? And I would ask the same question, and I did, to our guest here and our co-host during the break. Why do we lie down here in the United States and take that? And Fred told me that Germany was not a sovereign country. Fred, what about you? Tell me that Germany is not a sovereign country. You've heard Monica say something about that. Expand upon that, Germany not being a sovereign country, and that being connected to the one of the reasons why the German people cannot speak out. Take off on that, Fred, please.
Well, surely, after a war, there's two things that have to occur. There's an armistice, that's the cessation of fighting, and then there's a treaty. There's never been a treaty with Germany. We've had a treaty with Japan, but we didn't have a treaty with Germany. And we still have American soldiers that are on German soil, and a lot of the Germans resent it, but there isn't anything they can do about it. We have bases in Germany, and they don't have full control of their country. And plus the fact the spirit has been beaten out of them by the fact that they've been called animals and murderers and genocide people. I mean, all this that has gone on here has badly damaged the German psyche. And it may be able, I hope it's not too late to bring it back, but something has to be done. And the first thing that has to be done is the United States has to withdraw. We've got to get out of Germany, and we've got to let Germany control its own destiny. And that hasn't happened yet. We're still telling Germany how to run itself. And we know that in this country, the Jews are telling our Congress and senators what to do. That same thing is happening in Germany, but it's worse, if that's possible. But yes, Germany is still occupied. They still have foreign troops on their soil. And until that happens, and until that goes away, there'll never be any free thinkers in Germany because they're being told how to think. So, there are people in Germany, and I know a lot of these people that don't like this, but they can't really speak out very loudly because if they do, they wind up in prison. So, yeah.
Fred, by the way, I don't know if you have any connections still in Germany or not, if you have any relatives, but. And I know you probably won't have a way to know this, but are there any underground organizations, groups that feel like we do, and feel like you just let us know, you told that the German people They're not allowed to voice any opposition to the Jewish state. Are there any groups there that you know of that are meeting underground? If they are, what are the chances of it exploding someday, Fred? Then after you answer that, we'll have to bring Ben in. He's been waiting a long time.
There are a lot of groups and a lot of people in Germany, but they're not in a position to say anything because they'll be stomped on the minute they open their mouth.
Yep.
They're the few people that left in Germany that are real Germans. And these people would be able to re-educate the Germans that have been severely damaged psychically, but not until the United States gets out of Germany.
One last question before we bring Ben. I'm just wondering if it's like here in the United States of America, Gene and I have talked about this, Gene Andrews, a.k.a. the Bitter Ender. The United States military, he said, I'll use the Marine Corps, for instance, when Gene goes to these reunions, you know, Gene was an officer in Vietnam, a Marine officer. He says when he goes for the reunion, just about all the officers, especially of high rank, are white. But he said that the majority, if I'm going by memory, that at least a third, two-thirds of the majority of the NCOs, the enlisted men, are foreigners. Most of them being, for lack of a better word, Hispanic. I think everybody calls them Hispanic. I call them Hispanic. I like to use derogatory language when I can on these people. people don't like it too bad, so sad. But most of them are like that, and so we're not. I just wonder if Europe, Germany specifically, I wonder if they have the same problem. A lot of foreigners, Turks, people from North Africa, being in the military. So this leads to the question. My last question. I don't know if you know or not, Fred. Is the military in Germany primarily the army? I don't know if they have. They probably don't have Marine Corps. I don't know if they do. Is the military in Germany, are they led by woke officers and NCOs? Would you happen to know anything about that? I don't know how many relatives you have left in Germany, etc. What do you know about that, Fred? Is there any chance of the military being kind of swayed? In other words, is there any chance for a military coup, so to speak, to overthrow the Jews and the United States military bases and kicking them out of Germany? That's a bridge, almost a bridge too far. But what do you think about that, Fred?
I don't think so, because the American soldiers that are in there are in full cooperation with the German military, because we supply them with hardware, we supply them with training and everything else. So I don't think it's something that they would want to fight about. But it's about time that the United States pull out. We don't belong there anymore. We didn't do this to Japan. Why should we be doing it to Germany? But we did.
That's an excellent.
Nobody
excellent
seems
point.
To understand that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Your phone's kind of coming in and out, and I'm having a little bit of trouble picking up exactly when you stop talking. I'm not trying to be rude. I wouldn't try to cut you off or anything, but it's a little bit, it's kind of like a delay or something in our phone transmission. Ben, I'm sure you have questions and comments, brother. Go ahead and talk to Fred, ask him questions, comment, whatever you have, son.
Well, just kind of following up with what you were saying there about, you know, the occupation there, the American occupied Germany, if you want to call it that. It's kind of the same thing we run into here in the southern states. You know, and don't hold me 100% on my historical accuracies. I'm no scholar. But if I remember correctly, only the Army of Virginia under the director of General Lee surrendered. And we have never signed any sorts of treaties that I am aware of in the southern states saying that, you know, we fully surrender. We're still an occupied state. And, you know, with the United States, or as I like to call it, the United States, and they've got their hands in everybody's pocket. Germany, all these different countries that they're occupying. When are we going to bring our boys home that we keep sending them over different places to do, pardon my language, just bullshit? When are we going to bring them home and take care of our people at home? Because the boys that are sitting over there, they're not the ones, you know, at fault for it. It's the bigwigs. So, you know, that's kind of my aggravation, I guess I could say, with the whole scenario is we send our men to sit in different places and just meddle in other people's business.
Yes, I mean, you know, this is something we do, and we've been doing it for years. But, you know, the problem is, and just think of what a lot of these soldiers have done. Our soldiers come back maimed, injured, all kinds of things that they come back. And most of our soldiers are not regular Army. Most of these people are National Guard. They join the National Guard to get a college education or to get a government loan or something else. And they were all federalized, and they were
federalized. We have to go to a break. We have to go to our last break of the first hour. Be right back, people. Be right back. Hold on, Dear Blood Grove Radio.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I was trying to pay as much homage to Miss Precious Miss Ursula as we could. I'd just like to admire her so much. You know, I was telling our guys here during the break that if the United States was like Germany, if they were putting people in prison for Holocaust denial, for hate speech, I was asking, would our buddy, Miss Nancy, would she be the Ursula Haverback here? Well, she's not in her 90s, but she's in her 80s. And if they would put a 96-year-old in prison, you can damn well believe they would put Miss Nancy in prison. They would put me in prison. They would put little Ben in prison. There's nothing they would love better. The so-called January 6 prisoners. You read my mind. They put Daniel Borden, who was 18 years old. I believe he's only 18 years old. They put him in prison. And we have people like
17.
That paid the proof. Wow. My God, just a baby.
He wasn't even old enough to vote when they arrested him.
That is so pathetic. That is so absolute. You know, Fred and Ben, basically the same people that put Ursula Haverbeck in prison, they're the same people, basically. I know they're in different countries. Those people that put Ursula in prison are Germans, of course. I mean, duh. The people that put the people like Daniel Borden in prison and Jacob Goodwin in prison, they're the same people. We know who's behind it. The Jew. It's always Jews all the time. Just like our beloved Adolf Hitler said, I'm not going to get too far straight, people. Don't freak out. He once said something like this. If you come to a pile of rotting filth, garbage, say, for instance, a dead cow. And I've seen that. If you've ever seen, if you've been out hunting, and you see a possum come out of a dead cow, that's something to behold. But he said, if you rake back the garbage underneath the rotting meat, then you rake underneath the maggots, he said, there'll be a Jew. And that's, I know that seems extreme to a lot of people, but they're the purveyors of all hatred, of all filth. If you go back to what I've said 1,000 times on this show, and I'll continue to say, if you go back to the Holy Bible, I like the King James Version. If you go to St. John 8:44, Jesus Christ told them, mm-hmm. He told us what they were. They were their son, the devil, and they continue to do that. Fred, yeah. Hey, if you know anything else about... go ahead. I'm sorry, Ben, go ahead. Go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to quote that Bible verse, and that was that ye are of your father the devil, and you do his deeds well. He was a liar and a thief from the beginning, and so are you.
So, exactly. I mean, that's exactly what they are.
Jesus is the OG anti-Semite, and he died for it.
You know what? That's a great point. Jesus was probably the first. Well, he would probably be the first, but he might be the first. You know, he's the most well-known anti-Semite. I like to tell my Southern Baptist brothers and sisters that, you know, the ultimate, if you hate anti-Semites, you got to hate Jesus. You know, Fred, we were talking about during the break, a lot of people really high on Donald Trump being elected, but before he was elected president, he said that if he became president, he was going to deal with the anti-Semites and the Jew haters. Do you think he's going to follow through on that, Fred? And by extension, will the people like Nancy Hitt, will they become Ursula? Will they become the Ursula Haverbecks in this country here? Because I know I'm asking you to look at a crystal ball, but do you see our country going further down into wokeness with this, I think, from all the evidence I see, Trump looks just like a bought and sold Jew to me. Is that going to happen? What's your opinion on that, Fred?
I would hope not, because remember the last time that Trump was elected the first time, Trump was elected with Jewish support. They bailed him out of an extremely tough bankruptcy a number of years earlier, and he was beholden to them. And when he got in, he was beholden to them. One of the things he did, he moved the U.S. consulate to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. But when you stop and think about it, they tried to impeach him twice. And, he is in a situation now where he's coming back, and he's coming back with a real strong mandate. And that being the case, I don't necessarily think he's going to go after the Jews, but I don't think he's going to be listening to them. And I think that he just didn't want to make noise about it in this election. But I think Trump is an American, and I don't think that these people that he no longer owes any responsibility to are really Americans. All they seem to be doing is trying to get us into wars and trying to get us into trouble. And, we may be in a situation now where he may be going to be doing other things. He may not be going after them, but he may not be supporting them, and I hope that's what's going to happen. But he owes them nothing now. So that being the case, I would hope he's going to act somewhat different than he did in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you're right. You know, Ben and Fred, but Ben first, we always talk about solutions on this program. And the bottom line is solutions, you know, we don't have time to talk about the war. You know, Iran was going to come on. He must be busy. But we're going to try to get a little bit of Ben about the war. We really didn't have time. But this, since this all kind of ties together, we said it's always Jews all the time. It's the Jews that put Ursula in prison. It was the Jews that put Monica in prison. It's the Jews that put her brother Alfred in prison for the so-called Holocaust denial of certain facts. It's the Jews that are starting the wars in between Russia and the Ukraine. It's the Jews that are allowing the Jews in Israel to just commit genocide all over the Middle East. Quickly, Ben, what are some of the solutions? We talked about some of the solutions during the break a couple of breaks ago, and you said you wanted to comment on that. Comment on some of the solutions. You know, I know you know how far we can go, how far we can't. So go ahead, give us some solutions, Ben, to stopping the war, stopping the brutal world domination that the Jews are exercising over us now, right now.
Well, you know, as anybody with a competent mind, they would imagine the first thing that comes to all of our minds, and we'll just leave that part at that. But, you know, my biggest thing that I always pound is, when it comes to the solution, stay active in your small governments, because your small governments only get a little bigger in size as they work their way up the chain. And if you can get in with your cities and then in with your counties and state, by the time you're a state, you're in pretty deep. And I'm not going to name names, but I have a senator's phone number on speed dial, and it may not do me any good, but I've called and I've pressed on some issues, and that's the soft side of, you know, the method. But we need to prepare for when the crap hits the fan, because it's going to. And my opinion on, you know, Trump with the previous question is a little bit different, and that is, you know, I think he is going to wreak a little havoc on us that are on the radical far right, but I don't think he's going to go after so much the Nancys or the Ursulas, or maybe not even as much Monica Schaefer, but he's going to go after the Jacob Goodwins and the Daniel Bordens. He's going to go after the guys who are active, maybe not so much for speech crimes. It'll get there eventually, as it did in South Africa and Germany and England. But I don't see within Trump's presidency us having to worry so much about speech crimes as we are just losing our boys left and right for street action.
It's a good estimation. Well, Fred, any solutions? We have a minute or so. Any solutions you have, what you would like to come up with, that you'd like to suggest?
Well, not much more than I said. As I say, I think the Jews tried to impeach Trump twice. They also managed to take the election away from him. I mean, that was all stemmed from them, because he didn't do enough for them, I guess. But the bottom line is, I think he knows
never
that,
enough.
And I don't think he's happy about it, and I think he's going to do what he wants. I remember the first election, he was going to do away with the Federal Reserve.
That's right. Well, Fred, we've run completely out of time. Ben, we've run completely out of time. Dear Blood River Radio family, we're going to transition to the second hour. We're going to bring on my little sister, Monica Braveheart, and my little brother, Paul. Be right back in a few minutes, folks. Go take a quick break, about a 5-minute break, get some coffee, come back for the second hour. Hey, Ben, hang on, fella. Hey.